That's my desire. Lord, I pray that that what we just sang, what Tyler just led us in, that we would never be the same. That tonight, even as we're gathered in houses and places of employment all over the tri-cities around the country and around the world, Lord, that as we gather to do this thing that's tradition, that it's not just a tradition to gather together to lift up the name of Jesus. It's actually our highest calling. So tonight, Lord, I believe there's the potential that we could encounter you tonight, that we would be changed forever. So Lord, I pray that as I'm teaching this incredible truth from this incredible book you've given us, that there would be a revelation that's given to those that are watching, to me and my heart, to those in this room, Lord, and may it change us, may it transform us. Lord, I just bless those that are joining us online, and I pray you would just fill them with your love and your joy and your peace and your hope as we reflect on this God-man that came to be in our midst, who's still active and among us today. And so, Jesus, we say we love you and we want to glorify your name. We want to honor you. And yeah, Lord, may your spirit, may it just move. May he just move in us all over the world as we yield and as we proclaim the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 On behalf of Christ Fellowship, on behalf of our incredible staff here and the board of directors, I want to tell you Merry Christmas. What a year it's been. So unexpected. Honestly, tonight is a very unexpected way to even have our Christmas Eve gathering. It wasn't just a few days ago we decided to do online only in an effort to really love our community in an essential time. And it kind of makes sense with the rest of 2020 how it's been. There's so many things that have been unexpected. And as we've been looking towards the birth of Jesus at this Advent season, we've been walking through some of these incredible truths that we find in the scripture, truths about hope, of love, of joy, and peace. And what I've really enjoyed as I've taught, as we've had others teach, is that we've really looked at how each one of these is so unexpected. That God loves to bring hope in the midst of darkness. That God loves to love those that are his enemies. That God can give us joy in the midst of situations that don't look very joyful. And that God can even give us peace in the midst of great external conflict. And so tonight, as we open up and as we celebrate the coming of Christ, as we open up the Word of God, I pray that you would have an unexpected encounter with Jesus and his truth, that it would set you free tonight. Tonight, I want to start out by just reading the Christmas narrative that we find in Luke chapter 2, and then I've got two things that I want to share with you that I feel like the Lord is speaking and is doing something in. And so I just want to read to you and set our minds and our hearts in the narrative, the story of Christmas, the story of Jesus, which is Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration from Quirinius, who was governor over Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the simple yet profound story of Jesus coming, the one that we are celebrating tonight, the one that changed everything, just like we sang. Literally everything changed in this moment. Oftentimes we think of Christmas as gifts, and it's a beautiful thing. I think God is so generous. His nature is to be generous. And so I actually think it's really good that we are generous with the things that we have and that we give and receive gifts. And I don't know if you're like me, but you know, some gifts are great and some gifts are not so great, right? Can we just be honest today? Not every gift comes in with the same joy and excitement, but I will tell you one of the things that I love to get on Christmas, and that's gift cards. Do we got any other gift card people online? Who else likes to get gift cards? The reason why I like gift cards even more than cash, and maybe you can resonate with this, is when if somebody gives me cash or I get a check, I'm also obviously so grateful, but I sometimes feel like I gotta be an adult. Anybody else know that? Like, I put that in the bank, and oftentimes I'll use it for like the groceries or like paying a bill. But when somebody gives me a gift card that's assigned a place to spend it, I have to use it as they intended. And as I think about gift cards, I really see them as a promise. Like, when somebody gives me a gift card, a piece of plastic, what are they doing? They're saying, here is a promise that I have some funds on this card. Unless they're obviously playing a joke on you, which is not cool during Christmas. But when you usually get a card, it'll say, hey, there's $25, there's $50, there's $100 on it. And that card is literally a promise that there are some funds on that card. This last week, I was going through some gift cards. Kate and I have a bag that we keep all the different gift cards that we receive or people give to us. And I was going through it, and I found a gift card that had a receipt wrapped around it. And so I opened it up, and I saw that it was a Walmart gift card, and I saw on the receipt it said $100 on it. So in that moment, I had two widely different emotions. I was really pumped that I just found a $100 gift card that I could help use for my kids' Christmas. But at the same time, I realized that I was gonna have to go to Walmart on Christmas, and I was like, ugh, right? Here's the thing about that gift card. It had always had the promise on it. It always had these funds that were on it. Even though we hadn't seen it for months, maybe even a year, the promise of the funds had been there all along. But it actually took me to take the promise and to actually take it to be used for what it was intended for, that I actually got to experience the fulfillment of that promise that was gifted to us. So tonight, I want to look at the Christmas story maybe just a little differently than we have in years past. And tonight, I want to shortly give you two different angles on this Christmas story and what it means to you and I, not just as we think back, but also as we think forward to when Christ is going to return again. This is the Advent season, the coming of Christ, that we look back and give joy and expectation that he has come, also with hopes that he will come again. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about promises. I want to talk to you about fulfillment of promises. And here's the first thing that I want you to hear tonight, is that God's promises are trustworthy. When God says something, whether it's in his word or whether he's speaking to us as we pray, when God says something, I want you to know that we can trust him. He always comes through. There's no lying in God. There's no playing games. No, when he says something's going to happen, it will happen. And this is what we see in Jesus. See, Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6, we read this last Sunday. It says, unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born. Isaiah prophesied that there would be a promise that's going to be fulfilled by God, that he would send a Messiah or a Savior with the intent of bringing back humanity into right relationship with God, so that humanity would no longer live opposed to God, but that we would live together with God. This is what Isaiah was speaking about. But here's the crazy thing about Isaiah. He wrote this 700 years before Christ was born. And then even as we look to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, it was written foreshadowing things to come. And it was written 400 years before the birth of Jesus. And although we can trust tonight or today that God's promises are true, oftentimes what we find out is that the fulfillment of those promises oftentimes looks different than we expect. It looks different in lots of ways. One of the ways is it looks different in our timing. Man, the people of God, the Israelites, they had looked forward to a Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years. 700 years since Isaiah gave this prophecy, they were anticipating Messiah. And yet what we see is that God's not in a hurry. And I don't know about you, sometimes that's frustrating, sometimes I don't understand that, but what we see is God's not in a hurry. The prophecy that was given to Isaiah was fulfilled in Christ coming 700 years later. And even in that coming, what's amazing is that God yields himself to be confined to a womb of a woman named Mary for 9 months. And then that little baby, as he's born, as we just read in Luke 2, he grows in wisdom and in stature. He goes through toddler years. He goes through his maturing of preteen and teen and goes through his 20s. And It's not until he's in his 30s does he actually begin his public ministry. What I see about God is, man, he's faithful to his promises, but the timing of that fulfillment is oftentimes unexpected. And I just want to speak to someone, maybe you tonight, where you've been believing the promises of God and yet you haven't seen them come to pass. And I just want to encourage you, just because you have not seen that promise come to pass does not mean that it's not going to. See, as we cry out to God, as we tell God our desires and our needs, and as we listen to him, our role, your and my role as his children, is to remain with him and to be faithful. And so if you've been asking God for something, if you've been praying for something, if there's a promise that God has made you, I want to encourage you tonight to remain faithful, because what we see in the coming of Christ is that Jesus shows us that God is not in a hurry. He's not anxious about you missing it. He's not fearful about what's going to be missed out on. No, he is secure in who he is, and he's secure in his plans, and he's moving forward. And so just take a deep breath tonight and know that God is working even when you can't see it, even when you don't recognize it, even though it looks like everything's chaotic and doesn't make sense. I want you to take a deep breath and know that God is faithful to fulfill his promises, even if it's not in our timing. But the second thing I want to show you is really what blew me away as I was studying for today is that as we see that God is worthy of his, or that he's trustworthy of his promises, what we see is that he fulfills those in very different ways than you and I would expect. And what we see in Christ is that God oftentimes brings us the fulfillment of his promises through humanity. Oh man, this is an incredible truth. And really, this is the meta narrative of God, of how he works. He brings about his promises through humanity. This was true in Genesis. He created Adam and Eve in his image and his likeness, and he gave them a mandate to go and rule the earth, to govern it, to have dominion over it, and he entrusted them to carry out his rule and reign on the earth as it was in heaven. So he brought about his desire through Adam and Eve. We see this in Abraham. He wanted a people to call his own. And so he calls out to Abraham and says, go and leave your country and go to a place that I'll show you. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to all the people of the earth. We see this in Moses. The people of God were crying out in oppression to the Egyptians. And God raises up a man named Moses, a murderer, mind you. And he calls him out of the pasture and back into the city. And he worked the salvation of Israel through a man named Moses. We see this is how God works. This is how God always worked. We see it in Esther. There was a plan to kill the Jews, to wipe them off the earth. But Esther was used by God to save her people. And we see this most beautifully in this Christmas story that we oftentimes, I don't think we think about. See, God's promise was that he would send a Messiah, but the way that he fulfilled that promise was that he partnered with humanity to bring it about. That he literally chose a young teenage girl named Mary, and the angel shows up and says, Mary, you are going to give birth to the Son of God, that he is going to be a king that's going to rule forever. And Mary's like, how can that be? I've never been with a man. And the angel says, with God, nothing is impossible. What we see in Christ is that even his birth, it was brought together as the Spirit of God came upon a human being and the Son of God was birthed. And it doesn't stop there. When Jesus was on the earth, he wasn't a one-man wrecking crew. He actually invited men and women to follow him. And then as they were with him, which is the first invitation to be with him, he then sent them to continue his ministry, to broaden his reach. You see, the birth of Christ, the life that God desires for you and me, is an invitation. Christ came to invite us to come to him. And what I love about that is the invitation to be part of the fulfillment of God's promises is for all people. I love that Mary and Joseph were the ones that God chose. These humble people, they were engaged, not married yet, the very people that you and I want to pick, God chose. And then he invited some shepherds to be there to see firsthand the coming of Christ. And then a few years later, he invited some rich magi who were well-educated, brilliant minds to come and see the Christ, and they bring him the gifts. See, the good news of Christmas is that God is inviting us to himself. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, whether you're young or old, whether you're rich or poor, educated, uneducated, no matter where you live, no matter what language you speak, no matter what color your skin is, Christ, his birth shows us that God wants to come to us and to be with us. This is the beautiful picture of Christmas. But in it, we also see that although Christ came to invite us to come to him, we also see that God also says, I want you to come to me and then I want to go with you. Or maybe more theologically sound is, I want you to go with me. See, here's the crazy thing about Christmas as I've been sitting in this story this week is that God, for all of time, has chosen to bring about his rule and reign, his will, his desire, his heart on the earth through humanity, through people like you, people like me, people like Mary and Joseph, like the shepherds, like the wise men, like the disciples, like the early church. And this Christmas, I want to encourage you to set your eyes on Jesus. We're going to finish up the night in just a little bit with some more singing, and we're going to sing a song, Oh Come, Adore Him. And I love that song because that's the first invitation of Christmas. Come and see the one who loves your soul. Come and see the one who has given everything up in order that he would come to be with you and me, to make a way. And as we come to him, what we find out is that he's on the move, and he's inviting you and me to be part of what he's doing. So this Christmas, man, we want to celebrate Jesus. My goodness, we celebrate the one who came, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who made it possible for me to be in relationship with the Father. But I also want to encourage you that coming to Christ is the beginning of a journey with Christ. That even today, wherever you're at, I'm telling you, God has given you influence. He's given you relationships. He's given you financial resources. And this Christmas, I believe he's inviting us. He's inviting us to see him, to be with him. But I also have a strong sense that he's inviting us to partner with him, to bring about his desire on the earth as it is in heaven. And so I would ask you, what would it look like tonight? What would it look like over the next week? We got about a week left of 2020. What would it look like as we head into 2021 for us to say yes to the invitation first to come to Christ, to set our eyes on him, to spend time with him, but then to recognize that he's saying, hey, let's go. Let's go to work and let's bring about my heart there. Let's go into this community, this neighborhood. Let's talk to your neighbor. Let's go and be parents. Let's bring about my promises on the earth. Isn't it amazing that God chooses this almighty, perfect, all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful God? He chooses to partner with you and me to bring about his plans on the earth, to fulfill his promises. So tonight here, just a moment, we're going to sing some more. We're going to declare and worship King Jesus. That's who he is tonight. He's not just a philosophy. He's not just an idea. He is a real person who came to live among us, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to be raised again. And now he's seated at the Father praying for you and I. That's Jesus. That's who he is. And now he's given us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. The Spirit and humanity partner together to birth his desire. This is what happened with Mary, and it's what God desires for you. So I just want to take a moment in the middle of a crazy season. If you're like me, you're probably gonna be wrapping some gifts tonight. You're gonna anticipate tomorrow morning. I wanna give you a second to just sit and let's meditate on this fact, these two things that I talked about tonight. Number one, let's just think about this incredible truth that Jesus came that we would be invited to him. So wherever you're at, in your living room, in your dining room, at work maybe tonight, or wherever you're at, or around the country, around the world. Let's just sit in this truth that God so longed to be with us that he came to us, that we could come to him. And just as the angel said, this is good news of great joy for all the people, no matter if you're old or young, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated, male or female, Jesus is an invitation. Come and enjoy God. Come and experience the abundant life. Come and give it all away so that you can receive it all. Why don't you just tell God thank you that his son reminds us of that this season. And then secondly, I want you to think about what is God inviting you into? I want you to just meditate, just think about what has God placed in your hands? What is he calling you to be faithful with? What is he calling you to say yes to him and to partner with him to bring about his rule and reign? Lord, I pray you would shift our minds, that we would be a people that partner with your Holy Spirit, just as Mary did, just as the early disciples did, just as the early church did. That we would see your love and your justice, your grace and your mercy in your life. We would see it expressed more and more on the earth and the spheres of influence you've given us and the relationships you've given us and the platforms you've given us, Lord. May we honor you and may we partner with you and see your promises come to pass in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the night, even though it looks very different than many of us expected. And I know many of us have our own losses this year. Maybe this year looks different for many for lots of reasons. Lord, I thank you that you're a God that shows up in the midst of it all. Lord, I thank you that your promises are yes and amen. And so, Lord, teach us to receive, teach us to walk in them. Holy Spirit, we say yes to you, and may these next few minutes as we worship you, as we set our eyes on you, may we behold you, the risen King, the one who reigns forever. And may we be transformed from glory to glory. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. We're so thankful for you and your pursuit of us. May we be a people that run to you, not only today, but every day of the year. It's your powerful name we pray, Jesus, the name above every name. Amen.
Love. Oh,
That's our heart tonight. That's our heart of our church, is that we would bring you glory, the glory that is due your name. And Lord, I thank you that even for eternity, just those that you've designed, the way you designed it, that we're going to sing for all eternity how amazing you are, that humanity is going to be in the midst of this perfect, all-powerful God for all eternity. Lord, thank you for the invitation of Christ. Thank you that you're inviting us to move with you in the Tri-Cities and the States and beyond. We bless your name, Jesus. Fill us with your Spirit as we go. Fill us with your Spirit as we see you more rightly and respond to you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And guys, thank you so much for joining with us tonight. Man, I pray that you have experienced Jesus, that you've seen a new aspect of him, that you've recognized that he's inviting you into an incredible story, that he's bringing the fulfillment of his promises through you and through me. And we want to wish you Merry Christmas again. We pray that there's a peaceful, a joy-filled day for you tomorrow. And we're looking forward to joining you back online here December 27th. My wife and I are going to be teaching. We can't wait. We love you guys. God bless. Merry Christmas.